Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Light shines on Lyme disease. Limelight Radio with Katina Macris is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential to expand awareness and activate change to eliminate Lyme disease for good. Limelight Radio is a much-needed venue for the USA's number one fastest-spreading infectious illness. Katina is an award-winning author, a natural healthcare practitioner with over 30 years' experience, and most importantly, a healing force with her own personal Lyme journey. Be part of a movement to help end the suffering and confusion surrounding Lyme disease and begin to take action. Now here's your host, Katina Macris.
Then I go to my brother and I say, brother, help me, please.
Hello, everyone. This is Katina Macris, and we are on Limelight Radio. What a privilege it is for me to host this wonderful show every week with you. And we have some of the most interesting guests. And today, as usual, we'll be checking in with John Donnelly as he cycles across America with Tick-Borne Disease Alliance on an educational and awareness tour for Lyme disease and tick-borne illness. John started in California on September 29th. He left San Francisco, and we've been following him week to week, and I'm excited to find out where he is today. And however, I think we're going to start our program today with a very fascinating doctor, research doctor named Dr. Kerry Clark, who I'm going to read you his bio. Dr. Clark is the Associate Professor of Epidemiology and Environmental Health at the University of North Florida with a Master's in Public Health from the University of Alabama. He earned a PhD in Environmental Health Sciences from the University of South Carolina, where he conducted the first ecological study of Lyme disease bacteria in that state. He's been studying Lyme and other tick-borne diseases for the past 20 years. And he is considered to be one of the most important research doctors or scientists on ticks. Dr. Clark has been committed to studying the ecology and epidemiology of Lyme disease and other tick-borne illnesses in the southern United States. He was the first to report finding Lyme disease spirochetes in animals and ticks in South Carolina and in wild reptiles in South Carolina and Florida. He has documented the presence of Lyme disease bacteria, Babesia, and other tick-borne pathogens in wild animals, ticks, and humans in Florida and other southern states. Recently, he discovered two previously unrecognized Lyme Borrelia species in human patients in Florida, Georgia, and other states of the United States. The primary objectives of Dr. Clark's research are this: to develop better molecular DNA-based diagnostic tests for identifying the causative agents of Lyme and associated tick-borne diseases, to improve sensitivity and in both human patients and companion animals, and to use improved testing methods to determine the actual frequency of Lyme disease and common co-infections in humans and companion animals. So, Dr. Clark has been working diligently. He needs funding to continue his groundbreaking research, and he uses primarily molecular DNA-based testing methods to identify tick-borne disease agents in humans and animals and ticks. And this testing requires a large amount of expendable supplies and DNA sequencing services. Funding will be primarily used to purchase lab supplies necessary to test humans, companion animals, ticks, and other samples and causative agents of tick-borne diseases. So Dr. Clark is busy, busy at work, and I'm very eager to interview him. And unfortunately, right now, we are having a technical difficulty. We do not have him on the line. So I am waiting to see where Dr. Clark is. We are expecting him on the show today. And I have a bit of a concern over Skype and wireless connection. So hopefully Chrissy, our producer, is going to get Dr. Clark momentarily. So anyway, isn't that remarkable work? This is a statement I'm going to read that he has written up about his concerns for Lyme disease. Lyme disease is the most common vector-borne disease in the United States, with an estimated 300,000 new cases diagnosed each year and likely thousands more still going unrecognized or misdiagnosed and either untreated or inadequately treated. Although Lyme disease is recognized in certain regions of the country, its true prevalence, human disease risk, and public health impact in areas like the southern United States remain understudied and misunderstood. The disease can manifest in numerous ways, affect multiple bodily systems, and have insidious onset. Some patients go undiagnosed and untreated for months, years, or even decades. The burden of suffering can be tremendous, and the years of healthy, potential years of life loss can be dramatic, especially for children infected early in life. I agree with this too. Lyme disease is decimating. Many of you who know of my own story, I shared my 10-year healing journey with this awful illness and out of the woods, healing Lyme disease, body, mind, and spirit. And it is a treacherous illness if we do not catch it early. Treating this illness right up front with aggressive antibiotic therapy seems to be everyone's agreement, best way to tackle this illness early. But when we go misdiagnosed with other common misnomers like lupus or fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue syndrome or rheumatoid arthritis or migraines, bipolar disorder, attention deficit in children, water on the knee, Bell's palsy, we know how the illness disseminates and moves into different systems and wreaks havoc, creating inflammation, depleting our various chemicals, hormones, and endocrine system gets totally ravaged, and then we end up completely struggling on multiple levels, body, mind, and spirit. So Lyme disease is sadly spreading wildly. The birds are carrying it up and down all of the flyways as they commute each year with the climate and seasonal changes, and even across Nova Scotia and Newfoundland over to Northern Europe and down to Mexico and the Caribbean and poor San Diego. They are ransacked because they get all the beautiful warblers that come to winter over with ticks on board. So Lyme disease is here front and center. It's riddled throughout the United States, as John Donnelly has been showing us with his trek across America. He's meeting folks in Colorado and Kansas and Ohio that are severely impacted with tick-borne illness. And we, of course, want to make a difference. And all of us are working hard. And Limelight Radio is a tremendous venue. I thank my network owner, Dr. Pat Bocelli, for finding me in the first place to host this wonderful program and bring on these interesting guests who are helping to educate and give us healing guidance and bring awareness to our nation. Beautiful venue. I'm really honored and meeting wonderful folks. And I hope all you listeners have been enjoying these broadcasts, and we are archived and available on iTunes for free. I also want to say that today I'm giving another book giveaway. I'm giving a copy of Out of the Woods to our first three telephone callers today. So if you pick up the telephone and dial into 800-930-2819, you'll get an autographed copy of Out of the Woods. That's 800-930-2819. Wonderful book, great transformational story filled with hope and healing and great guidance. So please call in, as I said, 800-930-2819. First three callers will get a copy. And anyway, we're getting ready for station break, and let's hope we come back on with Dr. Carrie Clark. This is Katina Makris with Limelight Radio, and stay tuned.
The Tick-Borne Disease Alliance, TBDA, has just launched Bite Back for a Cure, a new national grassroots campaign to build support for the fight against tick-borne diseases. This fall, 24-year-old John Donnelly is biking across America to meet others affected by tick-borne diseases and raise awareness about the national tick-borne disease epidemic. TBDA wants you to get involved in the campaign and follow John's journey. To learn more, visit bitebackforacure.org.
Tune in to Peace World Radio, vibrant conversations to change the world with Christina Jantz, each second Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com and KKNW. This hit show is energetic, vibrant, and an engaging forum that's getting people talking. Christina brings you extraordinary and courageous people, bold in thought and action, who dare to dream that things can be different. Peace World Radio. Join the talk the world is having.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Makris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Hi, this is Katina Makris of Limelight Radio. Do you or someone you know suffer with Lyme disease, chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, MS, allergies, loss of wellness? I did, and advanced cell training has been a restorative, self-healing modality, bringing renewed health and energy to my life. Thousands of others rave about the remarkable success Gary Bleier's cutting-edge healing approach at AdvancedCellTraining.com creates. Request their free DVD for self-healing work in the comfort of your own home at AdvancedCellTraining.com. Be inspired to heal in new and expansive ways. Your life is too precious to ignore.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Limelight Radio. This is Katina Makris, and we have the most talented Dr. Carrie Clark from University of Florida on with us. Hello, Dr. Clark.
Hello, Katina. Glad to be with you.
It's an honor to have you. I've been fascinated by your work for some time now. And even though we have two callers on the line, I would just like to take a few minutes with you before we get to the callers and let people know about what you've been doing with your studies. It's fascinating.
Well, what I've focused on for a long time is trying to develop more sensitive ways of detecting Lyme borrelia infection in human patients and using a DNA-based approach. And I've spent many years working on that. And I continue to try to optimize that testing protocol and that strategy and continue to do testing of human subjects around the southern United States. The other thing I'm doing right now is I do have a canine tick-borne disease study going, and I'm going to be looking to obtain samples from dogs across the southern United States to try to document infection in our canine companions as well. And I still receive ticks from patients and from animals around the southern United States, and we do testing on those. So looking at it from different approaches, trying to gather as much evidence as possible to document the presence of this infection in that region.
That's terrific. Yeah, so, I mean, you've been at this for 20 years now, right?
It's getting pretty close to that, going back to the graduate school days, yes.
Wow. Well, this is really tremendous because I was in North Carolina speaking in April, and the Infectious Disease Society of North Carolina has not yet acknowledged that Lyme disease exists in the state. And I know Florida and Georgia, the Carolinas, you're all infected down there.
Well, there appears to be no shortage of Lyme disease across the southern United States, and contrary to what some people believe, most of our cases are not from people who were infected in other regions and moved here. They're people who are being bitten by ticks and acquiring their infections right here in the South, and the organism that causes Lyme is broadly distributed across the southern United States, and there are many published studies that document Lyme borrelia in animals and in ticks, and what we've learned about most every other place in the world where Lyme borrelia exists in nature, in animals, and in ticks that are known to bite people, they have Lyme disease there. So it's not even logical to assume or conclude that Lyme disease would not be in the southern United States for some inexplicable reason.
Yes, right. I mean, gosh, your habitat is certainly conducive towards them with their breeding cycles.
Well, no shortage of ticks,
No
shortage of ticks. Very tickly place, let's say.
Yes, very likely. So, Dr. Clark, we have a caller on the line with a question. Let's hear what they'd like to ask us. Chrissy, do you have our caller?
Yeah, she's on the line.
Okay. Hello, who do we have with us today?
Hi. First, I wanted to know what station you are on the radio. I'm in Rhode Island.
We are AM 1230 WBLQ in southern New England. And then we are on the internet streaming on transformationtalkradio.com. And we are also on the DrPatShow.com. We stream live on those two networks.
Okay. My question also is, I have had Lyme for 24 years, and I'm looking for help. I have been to 40 doctors and have never, ever gotten help, and I'm really sick right now. I'm wondering where, near Rhode Island, I could go to get help.
Well,
I have Borrelia and Babesia.
Yes,
pardon?
I can hear it in your voice, the fatigue. I'm sure Dr. Clark can too.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some practitioners in your area. I think what you should do is reach out to the Newport Lyme support group.
I'm familiar.
Are you familiar with them? They might have some leads. If not, email me at limelightradio.com. You can email me, go to the website there, and my email's there, and I can help you find a practitioner.
I'm just wondering if Dr. Clark has any ideas as far as what treatment is the best. I've had two pick lines and then went off, and everything came right back. And now it's just affecting my joints really, really bad. And I'm really desperate for help.
I really wish that I could provide information about treating Lyme, but because I'm a research professor, not an MD,
right.
It's not appropriate for me to provide treatment guidance. So I think the most important thing to do for most patients is to find a physician who has experience with diagnosing and treating Lyme and other tick-borne infections, and someone who's willing to work with the patient in an open-ended fashion and not follow necessarily some specific short-term guideline. That's the most important thing for most patients, is finding the right clinician.
Yes, I agree. So connect with me. Email me, as I said, at limelightradio@gmail.com, and I can help you find someone in your region. I'm knowledgeable about this sort of thing. Thank you for calling us, though, and I'll help you find some resources, okay?
Okay.
Thank you
so much.
And listen to our show. It's bye-bye. Beautiful. And let's hear some more from you, Dr. Clark. Exciting, actually, for me, to in this Lyme disease movement, to hear that you're being able to establish this illness and its presence in the South. And I think one of the things that has been so difficult is the whole issue of diagnosis.
Absolutely.
Right?
One of the reasons that it's been so difficult is because we lack really good objective laboratory testing for Lyme. And when I say that, I'm mainly talking about sensitivity of the testing.
Mm-hmm.
We know that Lyme is a clinical diagnosis, so it's supposed to be diagnosed. It's expected to be diagnosed primarily on the clinical presentation and the medical history and exposure history and those types of things. But over time, medicine has really evolved to depend very heavily, in fact, in my mind, in many times, way too much on the technology and the laboratory testing. And that's especially so with Lyme. So because of that, the fact that we lack really sensitive laboratory tests is a major problem in Lyme diagnosis. So the work that I'm doing, focusing on DNA, it has its own limitations. The benefit of being able to detect DNA of an organism in somebody's body is that unless the person has been successfully treated and you've somehow killed all of the organisms just recently, and there's a few dead organisms still hanging around in the body when you test them, unless that's the case, then there should not be any of this organism's DNA in somebody's body. And when you have a clinical presentation that's consistent with Lyme disease and you can exclude many other potential explanations for somebody's illness, and you can find the DNA of the Lyme organism in somebody's body, that's very strong evidence that the person has an active infection.
Right.
And so that's the benefit of DNA testing.
And how much is DNA testing being used right now, with the general physician?
That's a great question. I don't think it's being used very much at all, and I wouldn't promote using it right now. And the reason is I know enough about the DNA testing to know that most of the laboratory testing that uses DNA amplification, which is called PCR, is not sensitive enough to pick up the DNA of the Lyme organism most of the time. And I haven't done a scientific study on this, but I have talked to many physicians who have tried using PCR testing for their patients, and they report almost no positives whatsoever. And I don't think that's because their patients aren't positive. I think it's because the testing that's being done in the clinical labs is just not sensitive enough, and it's nowhere near as sensitive as the testing that I'm doing, that I've been developing experimentally. And what I do is very, very time-consuming. It's very labor-intensive, and it's taken years and years and years to try to optimize this approach to be able to develop this. And I don't know if the approach that I'm using would really be feasible for a typical clinical laboratory test because of the additional steps and time that it takes for me to do that. But I know enough about the testing to know that most people aren't going to test positive by PCR. The problem with that is that many clinicians do not know enough about DNA testing and so forth to know that. And when they think about PCR, they often think about that as this is the most definitive testing that we have. And if a patient tests negative by PCR, then they absolutely do not have Lyme. And that's not true at all. It's absolutely not true.
Wow.
It's like looking for a needle in a haystack, especially if you're testing somebody's blood for Lyme.
Right.
And sometimes we can pick up one or two needles when you have the most sensitive testing available, but most of the testing is not going to pick that up.
No, it's not, is it? Very, very tricky ground we're on right now. Clinical symptoms, inadequate diagnostic testing, some labs working like the Dickens to try to accelerate what we know about this illness and find more refined testing protocol. So it's wonderful that you're working so diligently, Dr. Clark, on this piece of the equation. We have to go off to station break, everyone, but please stay tuned to Limelight Radio and more with Dr. Clark to come. This is Katina Makris on Limelight Radio.
If you want to write a book, find your soulmate, change careers, Saskia helps her clients to reinvent their lives through her breakthrough program, 7 Gifts to Unlock Your Breakthrough Miracle.
The daily support, the guided meditation, the powerful exercises designed of the 7 Gifts to Unlock Your Miracle to expand awareness help me to consciously create the life I want for myself and my family.
You'll learn her proven secrets to unlock your miracle in just 7 days.
Each day, I look forward to discovering what new technique or tool Saskia will offer us in order to find our highest purpose. We don't stop there, though. It feels that daily I'm held accountable for my goals, my dreams, to live a healthy and happy life. Right now, I have renewed energy to write my book, writing my first chapter after only 5 days in this program.
Visit BreakthroughMiracle.com to receive your free 7 gifts to unlock your miracle, or to schedule a free breakthrough session with Saskia, call 978-302-0861. That's 978-302-0861.
ACT, Advanced Cell Training, is a restorative healing process created by Gary Blyer to address the body malfunctions that contribute to illness. This breakthrough learning program teaches health insights and principles, strategic integration of both traditional and alternative modalities, while clients train their own bodies to heal themselves. Visit AdvancedCellTraining.com. That's AdvancedCellTraining.com.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Laura Longley Show, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Makris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
Welcome back to to Limelight Radio, everyone. We have a great show today, and I want to let you know we've got two callers who've received copies of Out of the Woods. I need one more caller, number three, dial 800-930-2819 to get an autographed copy of Out of the Woods. We're visiting now with Dr. Carrie Clark, and we have a caller on the line. So let's get another question in here, Dr. Clark, and then we'll continue our conversation. Hello, who do we have with us?
This is Sean Elliott.
Hi, Sean. Where are you?
I'm in Pennsylvania, but I'm from Tennessee.
Oh, well, welcome aboard. Tell us what you'd like to ask us.
First of all, I'll try to make it quick because I know you're busy there, but I just want to know how common it is for people in the South to actually have Lyme disease. Because the doctors, wherever, you know, where I live down there, the only thing that they would do was a Lyme titer, and it was negative, and then they wouldn't do anything else. But I've got so many symptoms of Lyme, it's unbelievable. And I've diagnosed with MS in 06, and I've been in a wheelchair since 2011. Nice. And I just recently, a couple of days ago, went to Demons Ferry, Pennsylvania, to Demons Medical, to have proper testing done, and they're actually doing the DNA testing that Dr. Clark was talking about. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping I'm going to find some answers, but I just really wanted to know if he's aware of exactly how common it is for people in Tennessee or down in that area to actually be diagnosed with Lyme.
Okay. Sean, thanks again for your call. As far as how commonly people are diagnosed with Lyme in the South and that sort of thing, nobody knows. And one of the major problems with the southern United States is our entire surveillance for Lyme is really in a bad condition. It's not capturing the number of cases. It's not even giving us any sort of a reasonable estimate of the numbers of cases. And I can tell you that the surveillance for Lyme disease is not being practiced the same way across the entire country. For example, if a patient in the southern United States gets bitten by a tick and has a bullseye rash that looks exactly like Lyme and they have signs and symptoms and everything else, that does not get counted as a case of Lyme disease in the South. Although if you were in one of the northeastern states where Lyme is considered to be highly endemic, it would probably be diagnosed right away, possibly treated right away, and hopefully those patients would not then move into disseminated infection and so on. Unfortunately, in the South, many people who have early signs and symptoms of Lyme do not get recognized as such because of the misinformation that says Lyme is not here or that it's very rare, and we miss the opportunity to treat those people early when we could possibly eradicate the infection. And I think a large proportion of those people move into the disseminated chronic stages of infection where it's much more difficult to treat. So there's no way to answer that question right now, but my opinion, and I mean this very strongly, is that Lyme disease is exceedingly more prevalent in the southern United States than it is being recognized as up to this time. Now, about the testing, I don't know exactly what type of sample that they drew from you to do this testing. Was it a cerebral spinal fluid sample, or was it simply a blood sample? Do you know?
It was just strictly a blood sample.
Okay, so in my opinion, based on lots and lots of experience, there's very little probability that they would detect Lyme in your bloodstream with the traditional PCR at the clinical laboratories, even if it's there. And so a negative result on that test will in no way be definitive as far as ruling out Lyme. If they do get a positive result, that would be great in terms of getting an answer. I'm not a big believer in lots of false positive results. I don't think there are many false positive results in the current lab testing out there. The other thing you mentioned was the ELISA, or the initial screening test. There's a lot of published evidence on the lack of sensitivity on that test, and most people that I know about here in the South who have Lyme disease do not test positive on that initial screening test, although some do. and therefore I always recommend that patients still be tested by that test, but I just tend to believe they should also be tested by the Western blot at the same time. And the Western blot will show evidence much more commonly than the screening titer test. But you know, some people in the South do test fully positive according to CDC criteria for having Lyme disease, but even some of those cases don't always get counted in the surveillance because they have clauses. These different states have different definitions and practices, and they have clauses written into these their guidelines, and it even allows them, when somebody tests fully positive according to the CDC criteria for the lab testing, those cases, some of those are still not being counted in the southern United States. If the doctor who ordered the test does not believe it's Lyme disease, then it still doesn't get counted. And you may ask, why would a doctor order the test if they didn't believe it might be Lyme disease? Well, often they order tests, just an entire battery of tests, to see if anything comes up when they have a complicated patient. But often when the people test positive, the doctors don't believe it, and so it still doesn't get counted.
It's a shame. I feel like we need a national criterion. Forget the state to state, huh?
Well, and yeah, I have problems with the current surveillance, the way it's being practiced. And it's different in, you know, Georgia, it's different in Florida, it's different in North Carolina. They're all doing different things. And I think the net result of this is that it's reducing the number of cases that actually get recognized, and it's doing it significantly. The numbers of cases that are being counted in the books across the South are in no way even close to the number of cases of actual Lyme disease that are occurring in the South.
I
feel
you.
Completely confident saying that.
I hear you. Sean, I am sorry that you're going through what you're going through. I'm going to send you a copy of Out of the Woods because I was in a situation very similar to yours, and I have recovered. I want to give you hope. I had a urine test done at Igenix Lab in California that looked for DNA fragments in the urine, and that's how we found it for me. So it was an Ethiope test. And if you want, email me, Sean, at limelightradio@gmail.com, and I can help guide you a little if you need some more guidance. But thank you, Dr. Clark, for answering that question and helping giving Sean some guidance. It helped all our listeners.
You're welcome. And there may even be some clinicians around Pennsylvania that other people know about as well that might be of more help to him as well.
Yes, I think so, Sean. So connect with me and we'll help find some clinicians for you.
Okay. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thank you. So, Dr. Clark, to continue our conversation, you know, one of the things I was so intrigued by when I first met you was your study of ticks and the different ticks that are carrying Borrelia, Babesia, et cetera. Can you, in the next few minutes before we go to our station break, can you tell me a little bit about these ticks?
You know, just like we have a very different habitat in the South, we have different climate. We have different animal species, and for the most part, we have much more diversity in all of those things. We have more diversity in ticks down here. We have probably at least 5 different tick species in the southern United States that are commonly known to bite people. And although I don't believe all of them are transmitting Lyme disease to people, I do think that there's some possibility that more than one species is doing that. So we have your typical black-legged tick, what people erroneously call deer ticks all the time. There really is no such thing as a deer tick. It's called the black-legged tick. And it's the same species all over the entire eastern United States. And we have that tick down here in the South. And in some places in the South, it's extremely abundant, maybe almost as abundant as it is in some of the areas in the Northeast. But the tick does behave differently down here. A lot of that is just driven by our habitat and our climate. And it seems like the adult ticks bite people down here primarily. We don't tend to have the nymph of the black-legged tick biting people. And so I don't think as many people in the South are getting Lyme disease from the black-legged tick as the people in the Northeast. But we have some other ticks that are of great concern, and I continue to test ticks from all over the South. And I can tell you I'm getting DNA positives for Lyme borrelia from multiple species of ticks. Now, that doesn't prove that all of those ticks are able to carry that organism and to transmit it to people, but it's certainly worth investigating. And
yes.
So we need to be doing a lot more research on different tick species as potential vectors.
We do.
And the Lone Star tick is the most notorious, you know, character in the whole puzzle.
That's the aggressive one, right?
Well, it's the most aggressive one that I know of. It's the most abundant one across the southern United States. It's the one that bites people more than any other species in the South. Although I will say the American dog tick is very common, and it bites people a lot, too. And, you know, I hear these funny things all the time where I hear that people say, well, you know, those adult ticks are not a big problem for transmitting Lyme or other tick-borne infections because they're big and people see those before they stay on you long enough to transmit disease. This is absolutely untrue. I have people sending me ticks all the time, and they're partially engorged, so I know that they're feeding on people for days at a time. And when you think about the sizes of the ticks, the American dog tick is by far the biggest tick we have in the South, and they bite people all the time, and they transmit Rocky Mountain spotted fever and other things.
Yes.
People don't always notice ticks that are attached to them. So the idea that an adult tick is not going to stay attached to somebody long enough to transmit disease is just ridiculous. You also have to know that the Lone Star tick bites people in all of its life stages. And the nymph Lone Star tick is about the same size as a nymph black-legged tick. They're tiny, and they bite people in tremendous numbers.
Dr. Clark, we have to go to station break right now. Let's continue with the ticks when we get back, because this is fascinating. This is Limelight Radio. Stay tuned, everyone.
Strolling in the park, watching winter turn to spring.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners. Award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Hi, this is Katina Macris of Limelight Radio. Do you or someone you know suffer with Lyme disease, chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, MS, allergies, loss of wellness? I did, and advanced cell training has been a restorative, self-healing modality, bringing renewed health and energy to my life. Thousands of others rave about the remarkable success Gary Blyer's cutting-edge healing approach at AdvancedCellTraining.com creates. Request their free DVD for self-healing work in the comfort of your own home at AdvancedCellTraining.com. Be inspired to heal in new and expansive ways. Your life is too precious to ignore.
Get inspired. Create the life you desire with internationally known radio host and motivational speaker Sue London. Thursdays on TransformationTalkRadio.com at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. Sue inspires millions of people to overcome difficult or traumatic situations in their lives. People feel hope, courage, and are ready to move forward after hearing Sue speak. Book motivational speaker Sue London for your next event at AskSueLondon.com. That's AskSueLondon.com.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit CellularWisdom.com. That's CellularWisdom.com.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
Welcome back to Limelight Radio, and we are in the midst of an amazing conversation with Dr. Carrie Clark out of the University of Florida, and we're talking about ticks, and I'm like blown away now learning about the Lone Star tick, the dog tick, the black-legged tick. Fill us in more, Dr. Clark. This is important because all people think that dog ticks are benign.
Well, all I can say is that I have been finding DNA of Lyme borrelia in American dog ticks, as well as several other species of ticks in the southern United States. And I've actually been finding it in some ticks that were being removed from people. So they're not just ticks that are coming off of infected dogs and that sort of thing. So I think we need to go back to the beginning and start over when it comes to looking at different tick species as potential vectors of Lyme borrelia, because Lyme borrelia are extremely diverse genetically. And the studies that have been done so far have only included a couple of strains of the organism. And so until we can have a much more representative sample of all the different strains of Lyme borrelia to do those types of transmission studies, it's very much premature to say that these ticks cannot transmit it under any conditions at all.
And, yeah, so everybody's got to be alert. Little baby nymph ticks that are tinier than a freckle and are poppy seed, or the big old fat dog ticks, every one of them can be sent in for sampling, right? And you should be very assertive with your doctor about getting good testing out of Igenix or Clongen, one of the better labs, right?
I mean, I think some of the specialty labs are doing a much better job at the testing for Lyme because that's what they do. You know, they specialize in that. And I think some of their tests are a little more advanced for different reasons and probably are giving a little bit better sensitivity.
Yes. So I want to support your research work, and I want people to be able to help you with that, because it sounds like what you are doing really is going to help advance our diagnostics and also our understanding of the swath of this epidemic. So what can people do to help you?
Well, we have a research foundation account that's set up here at the university, and people can contact me, or they could contact the Northeast Florida Lyme Association that I work with very closely for more information, and then we can direct them to the individuals in the right department here at the university for
That's
people
great.
To make donations.
So what should they do? Should they send an email in?
They can absolutely email me directly, and my email is all over the internet. It's kclark@unf.edu. That's for University of North Florida. .edu, and if you just do a Google search, you'll probably find it as well. And
right.
Then I can direct those people to our director of development to get more information of how they can donate.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Dr. Clark. It was really my honor to have you on today, and I'd love to have you on again in a few months' time, and we can continue with more discussion on your beautiful work. So
it'd be
thank
great.
You for
Thanks,
joining
Katina,
us.
And thanks for what you're doing as well.
Thank you so much, Dr. Clark. And we're now going to welcome John Donnelly. We caught you, John. Where are you?
Hi, Katina. Thanks for having me. I am right now in the historic town of Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. So we left from Berkeley Springs, West Virginia, and went about 80 miles today. And I'll be in the Pennsylvania area meeting with support groups in Lehigh Valley, and then Lancaster, and then we're making our way to Philadelphia on the 25th.
Man, awesome. Wow, so you're really back east now.
Yeah, it's kind of weird to see all these familiar places. But we know this is a definite hot zone, so it's going to be, you know, the next few days, it's going to be a week full of patient interviews, a lot of media events, and, yeah, this is kind of the last final stretch here.
I know. So last week we left you in Ohio, so and you had several events, I think, that you were leading up to. Did they go well?
Yeah, they went really well. So we had an event with the North Central West Virginia Lyme Disease Support Group, and we were able to meet with a few patients there, and then we actually spoke with a doctor who was at the University of West Virginia, but she ended up leaving that practice. She was kind of pushed out because she was treating patients outside of the guidelines put forth by the IDSA. So it kind of speaks to, you know, local implications that will have for patients who will probably have to drive, you know, several hours for treatment now. And also points to a larger issue that's happening on a national scale, which is that, you know, doctors are being punished for treating patients comprehensively. So that was a really interesting and moving interview we had with Dr. Pally there.
I can imagine, and it's true. There are doctors I've met here in New England too that have been forced out of practice. It's disturbing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a tough interview, but she's kind of in the unique position where she isn't practicing right now, so she was able to speak pretty freely and passionately about some of her beliefs.
That's great. So is that interview or any of the interviews from this week up on YouTube?
None of these interviews are up yet. Most of the stuff that's on Facebook right now is still from Ohio, so we're playing a little bit of catch-up, but there's a lot of footage from West Virginia, and all that stuff should be going out in the next few days, and then we're going to have so much from the Pennsylvania area, so we should have lots of really good compelling stories that we'll be sharing on Facebook also and on the Tick-Borne Disease Alliance's website.
That's great. So for all of our listeners, if you're new to the story, John Donnelly is riding across America, Bite Back for the Cure campaign. He's been riding with Tick-Borne Disease Alliance, and you can follow John on Facebook, John Donnelly, on Twitter at John Donnelly, and also at tickbornedisealliance.org. Is that right, John?
Yeah, the Tick-Borne Disease Alliance, their website name is TBD, as in tick-borne disease, so tbdalliance.org. But really, the best place where you can join the conversation is on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/tbdalliance.
That's great. So I'm so proud of you, John. Are you feeling okay right now? I mean, gosh, how many days are we in the journey?
It's I'm having a debate with the people I'm on the ride with. I think it's 50. They think it's day 51. It's one of the two. But yeah, it's been a long journey. But it's been very easy to stay inspired just with the people I meet and the type of feedback I've been getting. So this is the final stretch, and I really can't wait to get to New York City.
Awesome.
And
then,
awesome, and I
John.
Know you're going to be there, so that'll
Thank
be
you
great.
So much. Thank you so much for your hard work, and we're going to have a full half an hour with you next week. And thank you, everyone, for listening in today with Dr. Clark with his wonderful news of discovery and research in the South. So this is Katina Makris with Limelight Radio, and tune in with us again next week.
You've been listening to Limelight Radio with Katina Makris. Tune in each Wednesday at 1 Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Get ready for some of the most provocative conversation with leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. If you've missed any part of this hit radio show, visit LimelightRadio.com. That's LimelightRadio.com. We'll see you next week on Limelight Radio with Katina Makris. Then I go to my... Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimeLightRadio.com.
The Tick-Borne Disease Alliance, TBDA, has just launched Bite Back for a Cure, a new national grassroots campaign to build support for the fight against tick-borne diseases. This fall, 24-year-old John Donnelly is biking across America to meet others affected by tick-borne diseases and raise awareness about the national tick-borne disease epidemic. TBDA wants you to get involved in the campaign and follow John's journey. To learn more, visit bitebackforacure.org.
Grateful patients have been saying it for 25 years. When in pain, see Dr. Thane. Dr. Thane of Wellness One of Bellevue has been named one of the nation's top chiropractors by the Consumers Research Council of America, and for good reason. He has helped his patients recover their energy and vitality after car accidents, sports injuries, herniated discs, fatigue due to stress, the list goes on. The website is bellevue.wellnessone.net. When in pain, see Dr. Thane. That's bellevue.wellnessone.net.
Get insider knowledge about everything that is going on at Transformation Talk Radio. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com and enter your email to receive our newsletter. Stay updated on new hosts, inspiring guests, and good news articles from around the world. We look forward to having you join our community.
There is not just one kind of radio show. Some shows are about health, wellness, food. Others are about helping you on your spiritual journey. Some radio shows are all about busting through and getting unstuck from the crust in your life. But the Dr. Pat Show? Well, she does it all. She's been helping people in all aspects of their life now for 10 years. Her interview style, her unique personality, the amazing guests she has on her show are all factors of what makes an amazing radio show. Please join Dr. Pat in celebrating 10 extraordinary years of talk radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat. Thank you for supporting us for the past 10 years. Positive Talk Radio was a vision that we've had, and thanks to all of you, you've helped us make it a reality. We are promising each and every one of you that this coming year, our 10th year anniversary, will be the best yet. For more information, please make sure you stay tuned to TransformationTalkRadio.com or TheDrPatShow.com. And remember, join me. Let's live life full out together.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit TheDrPatShow.com. That's THEDRPatShow.com for listening times in your area.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit CellularWisdom.com. That's CellularWisdom.com.
Hi, I'm Michelle Bond, founder of The Bond Method. I'm the wholeness coach who shines a light on what you put into your body. Hippocrates said, let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. You can acquire perfect health by eating properly, but most people don't know how to do it. You're not going to find how by watching TV shows and news or reading the latest diet book. I teach you how to eat your way to perfect wellness through a customized program. When you are ready to stop messing around with your diet and want serious results, then contact me at themichellebondshow.com.
You are listening to Transformation Talk Radio, the home of some of the world's most inspiring talk radio hosts. Please stay tuned at the top of the hour. We will be bringing you another amazing, educational, and inspiring show to get you on the path to transforming your life. For more information about us, please visit our website, www.transformationtalkradio.com. That's www.transformationtalkradio.com.